ければ。
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now. Because at 4 a.m, nothing better.
Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, Spartans, Trojans, and Greeks. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, Pop Tech Jam roving reporter Jocelyn Gonzalez is back with part two of her conversation with the video experts who can make your smartphone movies look more professional. Very excited to have Joss back.
She's unstoppable.
Work. Yes, we love the Joss.
Yes, we do.
Also on the show, the Kaiser and I run down our list of 10 things we talked about in 2014 that we're still going to be talking about in 2015. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
But first, some news.
News, glorious news. You know, I still have that cold from last week.
Really? This is sort of a marathon cold.
Well, you know, look, I have a bottle of water. You know,
yeah, you are not drinking fizzy brown stuff. So.
No, and I'm not drinking honey water.
Yeah, so this is not... Not a cold that has left quickly?
No, it is definitely not a cold.
Are you feeling run down? Is it just because you're tired?
I'm feeling run down, but that's because somebody actually confused me for a suburban dad.
Oh, really?
That really, really upset me.
Were you pumping gas there?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I'm thinking it's just because, you know, well, I'm having my New Year's this weekend is going to be a suburban weekend. I'm going to enjoy the...
So no disco ball parties?
No disco ball parties, no nothing. I'm going to be a suburban dad, just trying that out for a few days.
Going to bed at 12:01?
Exactly, 12:01 and the whole nine yards. You know.
So you won't be watching Kathy Griffith and Anderson Cooper? You'll be watching the more respectable Ryan Seacrest?
Absolutely, of course. Of course, the Seacrest. But, you know, I wasn't prepared for being tagged immediately. You know what I mean? I'm thinking it's the sweater and shirt combination.
Were you wearing slip-on loafers and
I'm just wearing
fleece?
I'm wearing Pumas, for Christ's sake. I don't understand it. Wow. It's really walked my – I don't even – I have tight jeans on. I don't even have, like, daddy jeans.
Well, when you were accused of being the suburban dad, did you begin to speak and then quickly realize that you were not from your accent and urban demeanor?
I dropped a couple of F-bombs.
Yeah, like, what the –
What? It's really upset me, so I might be off my game today. That's all.
All right. Well, just, you know, it's – There are worse things you can be mistaken for.
That's true. That's very true. And no offense to suburban dads.
Yeah, it's
just not
you.
I mean, it's just not me. Like, actually, suburbia kind of scares me a little bit. You know, it's like an amusement park for me.
Well, and then you get into exurbia, which is
just sort of like the strip mall highway. Yes, yes, exactly.
All right. Well, let's get in some news then.
News.
Take your mind off this. Because as you know, that Sony story still going.
This will not die. None of our winter shows would have existed without Sony.
Yeah, the Sony thing has really propped us up.
Yes,
but as you know, the accusations are still flying about just who hacked Sony in November. While U.S. officials are thinking North Korea maybe had some help now, or perhaps subcontracted the job, which isn't my theories.
Right.
North Korea is still denying any involvement whatsoever and threatening retaliation, as they tend to do whenever anyone gets in their face.
I have my own theory.
What's your theory?
It's definitely Seth Rogen.
Really?
Definitely.
It was all PR stunt for his movie?
Oh, please. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Did you see that live Twitter feed he did?
Yeah.
He dropped some clues there.
Yeah, and he was on Freaks and Geeks, which, as
the
geeks, you know, they know how to hack, so...
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he is exposed, because not everyone is convinced that North Korea did the hit. I know you are one of them now.
I am.
But some cybersecurity experts are questioning the FBI's investigation into the whole thing and saying, well, the motives and the methods, maybe they don't match up. Now, for example, a peek into the malware used in the hack suggests that whoever wrote the code had extensive knowledge of Sony's internal architecture and access to important passwords, which is not out of the realm if someone had burrowed in there as a hacker. But,
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, but easy to do if someone was on the inside and angry.
Right.
And also, they dumped all the data out into the mainstream. It wasn't, we're going to take it and mine it and sell it and give these people's credit card numbers. We're just going to dump it. And so that pointed to, we just want to really embarrass the heck out of Sony. So there was a wrench thing, in there.
I think our original hypothesis was right. Some pissed off gamers.
We have a moment of gaming news coming up here, too, of angry gamers. So it could be an angry Sony employee looking to embarrass the mothership. Someone also noticed, and I hadn't read back quite that far, that the hackers didn't mention the interview movie at all until the media brought it up. Like, they had made these sort of vague threats, and then... All of a sudden, that maybe it's North Korea because they're mad about this movie, and it kind of took off from there.
They could have been talking about Annie.
Yeah. You know, because I know a lot of people did not like the auto-tune in that feature there. So
it's a hard knock life, you know.
It is. But speaking of the interview, the film made about $3 million in theaters when Sony finally agreed to release it in a limited run to theaters who said they would show it.
Right.
And they made about $15 million in online streams, I think mostly at Google Play and YouTube. Xbox Video had it on Christmas Day. I believe Apple's iTunes is going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't even cover catering.
Yeah, that's their craft services table. Speaking of Sony and Xbox in the same sentence, and gamers. Big hack on Christmas Day. Did you see this?
I did.
Hackers took down Sony's PlayStation Network as well as Microsoft's Xbox Live network in what was thought to be an opportune, yet unrelated to the North Korean thing. Mm-hmm. Lizard Squad was taking credit for that, and I think Lizard Squad had done something similar before.
Seth Rogen.
Really, Seth Rogen.
All Seth Rogen. He's on a roll now. You know?
Yeah, I guess it's part of his ultimate plan.
Hey, come on. You got to make sure he got paid for the movie because it only made $3 million.
Yeah.
His salary was $8 million, according to an email. So.
Yeah, well, if he makes his money back on this movie and he's proven his hacking skills to the world.
There you go.
A lot of freelance
there. A lot of opportunities.
But as you know, a hacker's work is never done.
That's true.
Mr. Rogen might be.
I suspect. Don't know this for a
fact. Well, what we've read, hackers are very busy.
Yes.
And a member of Europe's Chaos Computer Club is claiming he can fake a fingerprint and potentially fool a fingerprint scanner with a high-quality digital photo and the aforementioned finger photograph from afar. And mix all that photos up with commercially available software, and you can fake your way past a scanner.
I got a finger they can scan.
Yes, right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that down in your holster, mister. I didn't mean to get you angry there. But a video of the demonstration is on YouTube, but it's in German. So if you want to see how the hackers say that they can do this, you need to brush up your Deutsch.
And it sounds ominous, too, doesn't it?
Yes. German is a very guttural, serious language. So the concept of take a photograph of a finger, map it to some software, get past the scanners, that's kind of scary.
It is very.
The Chaos Computer Club has claimed to have beaten Apple's Touch ID scanner on the iPhone 5S before.
I remember that.
And they're saying the vulnerabilities still exist in the iPhone 6. They say Apple has not covered those exploits yet. Right. So
I would like you to notice how well I took that news.
You did.
Did you see how well I took that news?
I'm wondering if there's some Theraflu involved.
Yes,
over there
there's Theraflu and DayQuil.
All right.
I think it's the combination.
Yeah, it's a sort of a mood stabilizer.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the iPhone 6, maybe they'll get around to fixing it. But there are a lot of iPhone 6s out there now after the gift-giving season, according to the analytics firm Flurry. 51% of new device activations from around the world from December the 19th to December the 25th were for Apple devices.
Really?
Yes, 51%. This is phones, iPads, maybe if they're still selling the iPod Touch, probably a few of those in there.
They're not selling the Classic. We know that.
Yeah. Sad Classic.
What was the name of that? Furry?
Flurry. Yeah. No, Flurry is something completely different.
Totally different.
Yeah. Samsung had second place with 18% of new device activations.
Samsung's still hanging on.
Yeah, they're still fighting. And Microsoft had third place with 5.8. The rest of the percentages was divided up between smaller companies, all clawing for probably most of the Android market there.
There you go.
Apple also got a patent for a smart stylus this week, so get ready for those iSty and Apple Pen rumors.
iSty! Yes! Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that comes to fruition next year.
The pink eye.
Yes. I think you need to go into marketing for them.
I think we should, yes.
Now, Sony may have had a rough year, but its old PlayStation 3 game consoles are doing their part for science, like helping to crunch data in the study of black holes and gravitational waves.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've ever played any space games on your PlayStation 3, but these PS3 consoles are taking it to the next level. The New York Times has a story about how a scientist at the University of Dartmouth's physics department has been making his own supercomputers by networking together tons of
I've seen that.
I think he did like 200 at once. He'd done them with 16 or 17. And he says that the reason that he's doing this is because the combination of a lower price for the console, who's got a fairly robust processor, and the ability to install a different operating system on there has made them viable for a do-it-yourself supercomputer because you just harness all of this processing power together, feed it big problems, numbers to crunch, and it can grind through it much faster than a regular computer can do.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else? He gets PR coverage.
Yes, and he gets PR coverage, too. So that's an extra bonus there. So, and you can make all this for a tenth of the price of a regular supercomputer if you're using regular computer components.
You know, those folks at Cray are scared right now.
Yeah, you know, here come the PS3.
That's right.
But high-end
onslaught.
The grid computing, the distributed computing, and, you know, bind a bunch of processors together, that's been around for 15 years. People have been doing that with Linux systems forever.
But it is a Sony product, so he better Seth Rogen-proof it.
Yes, definitely. You know, keep the Rogen out of there.
Oh, yeah, keep the Rogen. Yes, keep the Rogan out.
Yes, the thing they're looking at, because the PS3 does have its limitations.
It does.
And it's an older chip and there's memory issues. But they're looking at high-end PC graphics cards that have all of that video processing power as another potential low-cost source of supercomputer parts.
I mean, just like slam like hundreds of them in a box?
Yeah, just like get a whole like case of high-end graphics cards and bind them together into one mighty machine.
Nice. I kind of like
that. Just rip that climate data to pieces.
Just rip it right out of there.
Gravitational waves and black holes and the PS3 all together.
I bet you the climate data will have some great frame rates too.
Yeah, oh, totally. Awesome. You can just see the, you know, the earth melting. But in space news, since we're talking about gravitational waves
space
and black
news.
Holes there, space news, a recently discovered comet called 2014 Q2, also known as Lovejoy or Q2 on the dance floor, should be visible in the night sky in the northern hemisphere for much of January.
Remix!
Totally.
Yes.
This is if you live in an area free of light pollution, which we in New York are not so much.
Not even close.
Yeah, we're not as bad as LA with the air pollution, but light pollution,
we got
a lot of that.
We got that.
Yeah. But if you are in an area and you have maybe binoculars or a small telescope, you can probably see it really good. But some of the experts are saying that you could see it with the naked eye if you live in an area that's free of the light pollution and big open skies. And they say the key to looking for it is if you can see all four stars in the Little Dipper's bucket, then you should have enough visibility to see Comet Lovejoy.
I don't like where this is going. Naked eyes, Little Dipper's bucket. Yeah. You know, you're working blue here. Hey,
yeah, you know, I can't wait to see what music you're going to put under this segment. But anyway, sweet little Comet Lovejoy.
Yes, Lovejoy.
It loves joy.
It does.
It will make its closest approach to the Earth on January 7th. And for experienced stargazers who are used to picking out the constellations up there, the comet is currently near the constellation Lepus the Hare and is passing close to Orion's Belt. Don't
go there. You see what I'm saying?
It'll be going by Orion's Belt on its way to the constellation Taurus the Bull on January 9th. I know you're going to get your binoculars and go out and in your suburban palace
and
look up
in
the sky.
My sweater and my
leather patches on your sweater.
Yeah, I got to get those.
All right. So you'll be out there looking for Comet Lovejoy.
Yes, indeed.
In Orion's Belt.
Yes.
All right. Moving on. It's the end of the year.
It is. We're already silly.
In the department of out with the old, Yahoo has now shut down its long-serving Yahoo directory. Remember that?
Page
of categorized topic links that I think had been around since the site started in 1994, 20 years ago. For those with long memories, Yahoo directory was once the bustling destination for finding information online before the search engines rolled into town and made life even easier.
I didn't realize that it was still around.
Yeah, it was hanging on, and I think Yahoo was cleaning house, and what's this?
Oh, look, what's under the table there?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
I don't know if it had been getting a lot of use lately.
I can't imagine.
There are probably some purists who are very angry. I don't know.
Somebody's
upset. They've been updating the links.
Somebody's angry.
Yeah.
Somebody go on Reddit and there's a board.
Because this link from 1996 will not work anymore.
Hey, speaking of the 90s, you know what I realized this afternoon?
Yeah.
I realized that I had my AOL email account since January of 1994, and I didn't even have a party for it.
Oh, wow.
It's almost illegal to drink already.
I know. You better take it out.
I should. Yeah. It was amazing. 1994 in January.
Wow. And you still get mail to this account?
I still. Yeah. It's actually still, in a lot of cases, my primary email account.
They're under the radar now.
Yeah,
they're
sure
hanging on. Well, speaking of things that have been around for a while, it seems like Internet Explorer has been Microsoft's browser since the dawn of web time, which I think it basically has.
Yep.
But new reports say the company is building an entirely new browser codenamed Spartan for its upcoming Windows 10 system.
Sparta!
Yes. Spartan is supposed to look similar to Google Chrome and Mozilla Firefox, kind of that streamlined, not a whole lot of toolbars and stuff everywhere, and be able to run popular extensions. Versions for both the desktop and mobile are said to be in the works, so this could be a big move if they finally kick Internet Explorer to the curb.
What about ActiveX? I got to work that in there.
The reports that I've read say that they're not going to completely get rid of it. They're going to have the two side by side. Maybe it'll be a transition if you just want a light browsing thing that's a little more modern and not encumbered by massive security holes and add-ons that slow you down, and you go with the Spartan.
I like my security holes. Come on.
Yeah. They're comfortable like a pair of old socks.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, the Spartan name is a code name, though. I think it's alluding to the trim leanness of the software.
Oh, I gotcha.
So we'll see if that comes around the corner next year.
Or it could be like they're all from 300 and ripped.
Yeah, so and they're just really like at war.
Yeah, exactly.
Blood everywhere.
Yep.
No, well, we'll see which version comes true. In legal news,
legal news,
the United States Bankruptcy Court here in Manhattan has ruled that Aereo the now-squashed teeny tiny antenna company that got sued out of business for redistributing broadcast TV signals, can sell off its technology to the highest bidder. Oh. So that's pretty much all she wrote for Aereo.
That's it.
But maybe a little piece of it will live on somewhere someday if their technology is being sold off.
Whenever we see a tiny antenna, we'll think of Aereo.
Yeah, we'll pour out a tiny beverage
with
a tiny antenna. A little thimble shot, yeah. Facebook.
Haven't
talked about Facebook, least in a show.
Yeah.
They have apologized for its year-in-review feature, which was an algorithm that created an automatic slideshow from a user's photos that can then be shared with Facebook friends.
Yep, yep.
What was meant to be an up-with-people sort of celebration of the year's best moments, all capped with the tagline, "It's been a great year," had some users complaining that the software pulled in photos of children who died from brain cancer, houses on fire, and other events people would rather not highlight.
Yeah.
And there was actually some very touching stories about people who was like, "I've had this horrible year," and Facebook comes along and does this thing.
Just punches me right in the neck.
Yeah. So Facebook has apologized for that. I guess they were thinking all positive and, oh, this will be good and people won't have to do anything and they can relive these memories. But the software was not sophisticated enough to really see the photos in context. Hence, you got all of these horrible, tragic things coming up in the year's highlights.
Facebook neck punch.
Yes, I think that's what it's going to be called next year. So they apologize. And for those who didn't have tragedy but just hated the photos that Facebook randomly picked, you can edit the results. So people out there who don't hate it completely and maybe, oh, this will be a cute thing for all my friends to see because I can post on my timeline, but I really hate that photo of me. You can go down there and fiddle, so it's
all-in-one. The one they picked for me wasn't even me.
Really? They picked some other guy?
They seriously picked a friend of mine. He's just like a big picture of him.
Ooh, bad. Yeah. Facial recognition software there, Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I guess.
And he's a suburban dad.
They owe you an apology, sir.
Yes, they do.
Yes. Consumer Electronics Show. You know, it's going to be that time of year again next week.
Yeah.
Opens in Las Vegas, as it always does. And the planners say the 2015 show will be the, quote, largest ever Internet of Things showcase, end quote.
Here we go.
With more than 900 exhibitors rolling out their future wares for all of the attendees to see.
The vaporware?
We'll see. I'm sure they'll probably be like 10% vaporware. And, you know, did that toothbrush that measured your calories that were going anywhere from last year. But anyway.
Very nice. 10%. That's very nice.
Well, you know. Yeah. But new products for home security and climate control systems, automotive connectivity, kitchen appliances, and more are expected, as well as new innovations in sensor technology. They had a whole press release just about sensors. Yep. The usual CES staples of big expensive TVs, gaming gear, virtual reality systems, and general computing hardware is also expected. So we'll be having some headlines from that show on next week's episode.
The whole Internet of Things part of it is subtitled the El Kaiser Nightmare Wing.
I see. So yeah, we'll just have those in a little segment that we'll go by very quickly so you don't get yourself agina.
Yeah, exactly.
Worked up about it.
Oh, yeah.
But And finally. Yes. Well, you know, Joss has some great video stuff. I don't want to make people wait for that. And
our last and finally of 2014.
It is. The Alternet site has put up its list of biggest product fails of 2014. Because at the end of the year, all we do is make lists.
Oh, we do, yeah.
At the top of the flop list, the Amazon Fire Phone. No surprise there. Followed by detergent-free laundry systems, which didn't work as advertised. I didn't even really pay that much attention to them. But it was supposed to be more environmentally sound. Get your clothes clean. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Facebook killer wannabe Elo, which faded quickly after a brief moment in the media sun, was sort of in third place. I think I still have an account there.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. In fourth place, the Fitbit Force, which got recalled after causing rashes and blisters to some people wearing it.
Ew.
Yeah, not good for your fitness product there. Burger King's Satis fries that actually had more calories than McDonald's regular fries were also on the list.
Hey, wasn't that supposed to be their diet fries?
Yeah, their diet fries with like the less density and the less oil.
Oh, man.
They were more expensive and had more calories than McDonald's stuff. So Burger King rightfully on the fail there for the Satis fries.
Oh, I love it.
Google Glass was also on the list.
Glass holes.
Yes. The poor-selling Nike Fuel Band was in there. And last but not least, McDonald's Mighty Wings, which nobody wanted to order frozen chicken wings heated up from McDonald's.
I actually ordered them once.
Really? Were they?
They were pretty brutal.
And they were chicken wings, right?
They were chicken wings.
So what was the Mighty Wings experience?
It was gummy. They didn't taste like anything.
They didn't have the buffalo sauce that one expects from wings?
Definitely not. Well, if it did, I didn't taste it.
Rightfully on the flop list here. For anyone out there who wants to know more about all the things we talked about, you can find it all at
poptechjam.com.
Up next, Jocelyn Gonzalez.
Do you have any experience in motion pictures? Well, as a matter of fact, you do, because you've been using your camera phone to shoot some excellent videos, right? For more insight into how to make your personal movies look even better, the guys from the Double Down Film Show are back with a few more video tips.
I need to be directed.
Pete Chapman is the creative director of 77 Images and teaches film production at NYU.
It's just Anthony Artis, that low-budget brother shooting undercover. You know my name, you know my fame, you know my...
Anthony Artis is the author of the Shut Up and Shoot video guides and producer of the Down and Dirty DV project. Let's start this round with a pretty common problem, the dreaded shaky cam.
One very important investment that I would consider that's not that expensive is some form of tripod. The point being that you want to find a way to steady and lock down a shot. They make these little gorilla pod things, so almost every kind of phone, they have some universal adapters that'll basically just clamp onto the phone, and then you can put it on this little gorilla pod thing. But if you do have any photography equipment, as in a photo tripod or a video tripod, you can actually put your phone on it. It looks ridiculous, but you can put your phone on a regular tripod using these little $15, $20 adapters. It basically just involves putting a bracket on the phone and a little screw hole in the bottom that you can put on the tripod. But even though your particular phone or camera might have some type of stabilization built in, people think that they can just run down the side of a football field and it's going to look smooth. That's not – it just minimizes some of the shake. It doesn't get rid of shake.
It goes from like absolutely horrible to just horrible.
Yes, yes, exactly. So what's great about the Gorilla Pods is that you can attach them to poles and attach them to the top of chairs. So I definitely say use that. And if you are doing handheld work, try locking your elbows in to your side so that rather than holding the camera out extended, hold in your elbows to your body so that now your elbows are acting as a brace, or lean against a chair, sitting on top of something, anything that's at the right height that you want, you're going to get a much steadier shot than just trying to hold it loose in your hand every time.
Think about the things that you watch that you don't like. Like if you didn't like Blair Witch Project, there's probably a reason. It's probably the shaky camera, and you can totally avoid that from happening.
Ever try to watch a video of a crowd or a party, but what you see looks like a drunken carnival ride? That probably comes from trying to pan the camera around too much or too quickly.
It's exciting, right? You're at an event, you're at a concert, you're with your family, everybody's great and happy to see each other, and you may be inclined to just shoot everything. You know, I'm going to pan from grandma to my nephew to the cake, and you can potentially end up never settling on a shot, which A, gives you nothing to edit, B, is totally disorienting to anybody who watches it, and C, as Anthony said, is a fast track to amateur video bill.
You're doing great, but don't look.
You're doing good, too, with the cinematography.
Okay, good.
Some other things you can do to spice up your regular video is using something called shallow depth of field, as well as foreground and background objects.
Depth of field refers to how much of your image is acceptably in focus and looks sharp to the human eye. A large depth of field or deep focus means all of the near and far objects in the frame look sharp, while a shallow depth of field usually means the foreground subject is in focus and the rest of the background is blurred.
Maybe there's a toast at New Year's and we got just the edge of the champagne bottle in one part of the frame, but very close to the camera, and it adds a nice touch. We can open up a scene by coming out from behind that champagne bottle and adding a little bit of movement onto the shot. You can start off focused on the object in the foreground and then touch the object in the background and shift the focus. So these are all techniques you'll see in professional films. It can be done with a little more difficulty, but they can be done on a cell phone, especially when you have manual control.
Let's move immediately to scene 52. Tor, are you in place?
Yeah.
Great. Roll camera.
Rolling. Slate.
Cue rainstorm.
One of the great perks to using your phone to capture video is that there are so many apps out there to augment your shooting style, and you'll be tempted to play around with all kinds of filters to make your movies look even more distinct.
I mentioned it last year, and I just want to mention it again because it's still my favorite video app, even though many others have come out. And it's one that you can have a lot of fun with right out the box, and that is the Vintage 8mm app, which I believe is available on Android and on iOS devices. And all this app does is basically mimic 8mm film footage, but also from like the 70s. It has like a 20s look, so there's like 7 or 8 different baked-in film looks, and it records them straight to QuickTimes. But it's basically a whole nother way, especially if you're nostalgic like me. And it really does kind of give you that Wonder Years opening look, which I'm probably dating myself. I don't even know if people listening know what the hell the Wonder Years is. But if you do, look up Wonder Years opening and you'll see what I'm talking about. But it's a great film look that you can get right out of the box. And it's a much more fun way that I've been capturing my home movies that looks more interesting than regular video.
If you want to experiment with another video filter like the Vintage 8mm app, there's also iSuper 8 for iOS and Android. Basically, these kinds of apps add dirt, dust, and grain, or even light flicker to your video to give it the look of film going through an old-school projector. You might want to note whether the apps give you a live preview or whether they process the images after you shoot. So check the app's websites to see which one you like best.
If you choose to use a video filter, you are married to that choice. I'm sure everybody has either used Instagram or has a family member that does. And as you notice, the picture begins normal. Then you can change it or take it off or take it on, you know, whatever, add a different filter. If you're shooting with a filter that is going to bake in a look, just really make sure that you want it and you want to live with it, because you can't take it off.
It's a classic thing. You know, it's a lot less hassle to use it, you know, straight out of the box as it is. But it's also, you know, people don't always want to go into post-production and be applying effects, especially if you're not a professional or you don't have a lot more, you know, time to invest in that. So I just ditto what Pete said and say, make sure it's something that you like and play around with it before you record something important and precious like your, you know, your sister's wedding, you know, with some crazy filter on it. Make sure it's something that you like and that's appropriate. Otherwise, remember that you always have the option to alter the look in post-production later on if it becomes something you want to get more serious about. But nothing wrong with using a filter as long as you know that you're married to that look.
And cut. Perfect. Print it. Let's move on.
After all this, it might be that you're ready to add another camera with different features to your portable movie-making arsenal, but you're not quite willing to go all in on a bigger, more complex camcorder.
The GoPro is maybe a halfway solution.
That's right, the GoPro. It's the powerful little camera that's all the rage with surfers and skateboarding bulldogs, because you can attach it to almost anything.
It's full HD video. You've got pretty good sound capabilities. I guess the one downfall of it is that it's all going to be extremely wide-angle shots. But that said, you can be very mobile with it. There's very limited shake because the angle's so wide that it's negligible. You can't even really tell. It's a little bit less obtrusive because you can just walk right up to somebody and hold it. You can get one of those sticks. I think it's kind of a more readily acceptable way of looking at things now because it's had such an impact on just how video is made and shared. So I think it's actually a really interesting way to shoot. But there are more limitations because you have less control on the image. It's really just meant for a wide angle of the crazy thing that you're doing.
There is one thing, and I haven't used this yet, but I know that GoPro now has software that will actually make it unwide. So you can actually make it look regular image in post-production. So again, if you're a little if you're a little more techie and you want to, you know, if you don't mind, you know, getting involved a little bit with a little more post-production, you can actually unwiden some of that footage now in GoPro after the fact. And then the other thing I would say is that the GoPro really more, if you're capturing more active physical things, you know, you want to get, you know, really fun and interesting shots of physical activity. But if you're just shooting, you know, people sitting around the table, I think you're better off with your cell phone than a GoPro. You just have a little more options in terms of not having as wide a lens and a little more control.
We have a new category this year. Best film ever made by a human being.
If there's one word that I would hope can be kept in the front of the filmmaker's mind from everything that we've talked about, it would be intent. Why are you doing anything that you're doing? And then as you go through light, camera, sound, why would you be shooting it or lighting it or trying to make it sound a particular way? And then use the tools to help you execute that intent. And I feel like if you do that, you'll just keep getting better and you'll be able to watch something that is in line with what you set out to do.
We hope we've given you some good ideas to make your camera phone videos into movies you'll want to watch again and again. If you want to know more, you can find Anthony Artis at downanddirtydv.com and in his online courses for lynda.com. Check out Pete Chatman at 77Images at d7i.co and have a look at all the video campaigns and web series he's directed. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez for Pop Tech Jam. Happy shooting!
As we mentioned in the news, this is the time of year where we put things into neatly categorized lists and rank them.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do here at the end of the year everywhere. So we here at Pop Tech Jam have a list of 10 things we talked about in 2014.
Right.
That will be even bigger in 2015.
I have a list right in my hand. Actually, no, I don't. But that's okay.
Yes, it's inscribed on a microchip.
It is. It is. Yes, you can.
And these are roughly in the order that I kind of thought they might be. People may argue the order, but all of them, I think, will be much talked about next year this year if you're listening to this on Thursday.
If it's next year for you now, then it's this year.
Yes.
Right.
2015. We'll just say 2015. All right. Number one, net neutrality.
Net neutrality. That's
a biggie. Yes, we talked about this a lot, and it wasn't just us. Nearly 4 million people took the time to file comments on the Federal Communication Commission's website in the summer and fall of 2014. Large corporations who do not want to see their businesses regulated are pitted against consumers and smaller companies who think the internet should stay the way it is and remain free and open. Everybody, big companies, small companies, normal people, went in there and commented, filed briefs, made their case. The FCC's new rules are expected by February now. They're saying that they're coming to the end way they had to go through the holidays. Yep. But some sources are saying that they believe by the end of February, the FCC will issue their new rules. It could be hybrid rules. Certain parts of the internet may be treated otherwise. We don't know yet. But this is definitely one we'll be talking about in the new year here.
Oh, yeah.
Number two.
Number two.
Hacking.
Hacking.
The Sony Pictures hack, which some experts, you know, as we said, could be a disgruntled employee.
Seth Rogen.
Got a lot of press, but it was only one of many high-profile intrusions in 2014. J.P. Morgan Chase and Home Depot also had big hacking headlines, and this was all for them on the heels of 2013's big Target hack.
Right.
This continues to be a big financial game for fraudsters, so I would just say batten down the hatches for 2015 because they know they can do it.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah. Number three. Kind of related, but I'm still counting it as a separate thing. Security.
Okay. Security, yeah.
If big corporations had better security, maybe they wouldn't get hacked as severely. But remember, security is an issue for everyone.
Yep.
The Heartbleed bug and the Shellshock vulnerability were just two incidents in the past year, which our everyday computer systems were proven not to be as secure as we thought.
That's right.
And Apple's even resorted to automatic patching now for that recent clock bug that made sure people were protected. I would say stay on guard in 2015 and keep on patching.
On guard.
Yes. Be aware of what's going on out there. If you are listeners of Pop Tech Jam regularly, we tend to talk about the security, not just because I like to make the Kaiser squirm, but because it's important information to get out there. Knowledge is power. Protect yourself.
And she likes to see me squirm.
Well, there's that.
That's that.
Number four.
Number four.
Wearables.
Wearables.
We saw a lot of smartwatches hit the store in 2014, but they were all trying to get out ahead of the Apple Watch, which was announced last fall and is expected to go on sale sometime before the end of March. I think they were thinking the end of the first quarter.
Right.
Fitness trackers like the Microsoft Band and the Fitbit line saw some action too, so it'll be interesting to see if the fancy watches impact the sales of the purely athletic devices the new year, or if fitness and fashion shall come together, remain divided. Where's that going to go? Google Glass is still also out there, even though they were on kind of a flop list earlier in the show. Google's still developing that. They've got Android Wear that they've got wrapping up.
That's right.
So I think once the Apple Watch is, because people are just waiting for Apple to see what they
do. Absolutely.
This will probably be a bellwether for that category.
Yes.
Also on that note, number five, mobile payments. Again, Google Wallet and a couple of other mobile payment systems were already out there. But Apple dropped Apple Pay into its new iPhone 6 and the forthcoming Apple Watch, and that's all everyone wanted to talk about.
That's right.
Apple Pay was not without backlash, however, as stores like CVS and Rite Aid opted not to take Apple's system so they could develop their own, namely the Currency system, which has already had an email database breach of its own. Not what you want in a payment system.
Definitely not.
But the fact that you see people whipping out their phones at the register, which you could do before people would pay for Starbucks there. Some places had Google Wallet, the NFC chip in the iPhone 6, and the fact that so many people have the iPhone 6 now after the big holiday sales.
Yep.
I think we're going to see more of that. Apple's trying to expand the stores that take it. I myself can use it in McDonald's, my pet supply store, my drug store.
Right.
And it's like I don't have to take my wallet out all morning if I'm doing errands. And that's kind of handy.
It is very handy.
So we'll see where mobile payments go next year.
Nice.
Number six, brace yourself.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Internet of Things.
Oh, jeez.
As we mentioned in the news, CES is saying this is going to be a huge expo for Internet of Things, connectivity stuff next year. We've already got the connected light bulbs and thermostats, so get ready for more. Who knows if it'll go anywhere? Could be Internet of Vaporware, but I think they are heading that direction.
Yeah, go ahead, connect it all, and then wait for the screams.
Yes,
that's
and then just,
saying.
You know, wait for your grid to come
crashing down. Mm-hmm.
Happier things. Number seven.
Number seven.
4K video.
4K video.
Ultra high def TV sets were all the rage at CES last year, as you remember, and maybe a little even the year before. But now prices have come down, and regular people who are not multimillionaires can't afford some of the basic new models. You see them in the Best Buy. The picture is very nice.
Yep. I want Shaq-sized screen, though.
Yeah, you want the wall screen. Oh, yeah. Netflix and Amazon are starting to stream some content in 4K, yes, so we're starting to see things you can actually watch in high def on your ultra-high def TV.
Have they killed 3D yet? That's all I want to know.
I think it's still hanging on. Ugh. You know, there's always some kids' movie that comes out in 3D, and people get all excited. And I don't think they're selling that many of them anymore, but people who have them are clinging to them and probably can't afford to upgrade to the 4K sets because they dropped all that money on 3D.
Yep.
But a few more years, they'll be catching up.
There you go.
So 4K content is coming out. New smartphones with faster processors like the Snapdragon 810 are on the way to shoot and stream homegrown 4K video as well.
Nice.
So I think people are going to be into that as it becomes more accessible. There are more sources of it to see. Just going to get bigger and better.
Yep.
Number eight. This is a sort of a social one. Feminism and racism online.
Ugh.
Now, as more women enter traditional male strongholds like the fields of computer science or massively multiplayer video games, some men are feeling threatened by the changing world and, shall we say, lashing out. Message boards, personal communications, and even organized efforts like the so-called Gamergate incident have shown some uncivilized behavior towards women who, for their part, are starting to stand up and fight back through editorials, public appearances, even the front page of the New York Times.
There you go.
Story hit there. Women have been sort of, you know, putting up with this for a while, but I think with social media and just being generally fed up, they're starting to push back quite a bit. Also, sort of in that vein, America's volatile year in race relations has also spilled over into the online world.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a lot of nasty 19th century tirades on social media and even snide remarks about the black stormtrooper in the Star Wars trailer. People of color who have been putting up with stuff are pushing back, but they're also using it to organize against
That's a good thing. I've been a victim of it myself.
So there are community and tools now that you can find, and people are rising above it. Take, for example, feminist hacker Barbie, or the way social media has been used to organize peaceful protests to bring people together to work for change.
Cool.
Still a long way to go, obviously, but things are shifting, and you can see it just with your Twitter feed.
The jackholes will not win. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, people are fighting back. Number nine. Video everywhere.
Everywhere.
2014 saw more ways to stream video content on mobile devices than ever before. And now, even though some companies like Aereo bit the dust hard in court, others like HBO have made the jump to free their programming from the cable packages and make it available to standalone apps and devices.
Fly and be free.
All those Game of Thrones. But, you know, who knows if this will cut down on the Game of Thrones piracy, which was still the number one pirated show for 2014.
That's right.
But new hardware like the Amazon Fire TV box and Stick, along with the growing adoption of existing products from Roku, Google, and Apple, have made it cheap and easy to stream internet video to the big screen, and it's only going to get more prevalent, especially there's more smart TVs coming out that have this stuff built in.
Right.
People are adding channels to all these little devices. I know Roku had 1,000 of them before. Maybe not all of them equal in quality, but Apple TV, every time I turn it on, there's more little channel icons. People are seeing the value of this internet streaming TV.
Fuego TV is getting more, too.
Yes. Onward and upward for them.
Yep.
And finally, number 10.
Finally. Another and finally. We got two and finally.
Oh, yeah. I guess this is the and finally for the list here.
Nice.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
We talked a lot about Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
But Star Wars.
This year on the show. So imagine what it's going to be like when the movie actually opens on December 18th, 2015. Yes, there is a movie connected
to
all this jibber jabber.
Nice.
Yes. I think we will throughout the year be keeping an eye on leaks and previews and things from the forthcoming film.
Better believe it.
Again, that opens December the 18th, 2015.
That's right.
And we might have to talk about it then.
Yes, I think we should.
So that is our list of the 10 things we talked about in 2014 that we're still going to be yakking about next
year.
We're
going to keep talking about it, maybe even in 2016.
Yes. I will have links on the show page to some of the source stories for these if you want to know, have more information, say, about the Internet of Things. Not you, but
not
other
me,
people.
Me,
but things that we alluded to here in the show. You can find it all at
PopTechJam.com. Okay.
Ooh, forceful. It's like they get off my lawn.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's the end of an old year, on to the new one.
Yeah, I got to blow my nose, that's why.
Yeah, well, and then there's that, too.
Yeah.
And you have to put on your slippers and your sweater.
And my pipe. I need my pipe.
Yes, and have your cocktail mix.
Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
All right. Well, we must thank the bros.
Bros. Thank you, bros. Builtbybros.com.
Yes, it's been a fantastic year with the bros, as
yes,
it always is.
Always.
Thank you, bros, for hosting us.
Absolutely.
We would also like to thank the listeners out there who found us on every platform that we're on.
And keep finding us.
Yes, who keep finding us, who've taken the time to write us reviews or send us notes or correspond with us on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you so much for the interactivity and for listening, and we wouldn't be here without you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes. So until next week and next year, I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
Okay, go get in your minivan and go to the suburbs.
Soccer dad.
So no Times Square for you.
No Times Square. Have you seen how crazy it is already today?
I saw that they have put up the people fences.
Yeah, they took all the garbage cans away too.
Where do you spit your gum?
I was carrying a cup from White Castle for like 9 blocks.
White Castle? You go to that one down on 8th Avenue?
Every once in a while, like when the mood strikes me, I'll try to burn off some calories before I go.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed White Castle.
Bag of sliders?
Bag of sliders, definitely. Well, actually, you know what? I was good. I had 2 double cheeseburgers.
That's pretty good,
sliders.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, you know, and their little chocolate shakes are not bad.
I didn't have a shake, though. I held out.
1, 2, 3, 4.